First John chapter 4. Sometimes people will say, well, Brother Kim, what are you going to preach? You're going to preach expository or topical? Both. Let's pick it up at 1 John chapter 4 at verse 7. And notice how many times you see the word love or something pertaining to it. John writes, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's the key verse we want. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I don't know how you look at people. I'm a people person. I love to go out into the world and I love to meet people. I never know what I'm going to say to anybody or to whom. It drives Pam crazy. Sometimes I with her and sometimes she's, well, where is he? He's gone. I want to share something with you. It started way back before we came here, Lloyd and Jeanette and their family. Do you remember when we had the Walmart cards? We all had four or five Walmart cards. And we prayed that the Lord would lay on our hearts somebody we could give that card to. Well, Pam and I still do that. And there was a woman the other day, I call it the big Walmarts, one in Walmart, up in Warner Robins. And there was a woman, I was putting stuff in the back of the little cube there, and she come by and she said, are you done with your wagon? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, I was wondering if I could take it. And I said, sure. And then I told her, I said, it's been all serviced, you know, it's ready to go. You know, you don't have any problems at all. And she got a big smile. And I turned back and she started off and Pam said, Ken, give her this card. I said, whoa, that's right. So I said to her, I said, whoa, wait a minute. I got something for you. And she stopped. Now, she's quite elderly. And but I got to be careful how I say that, you know, because you know what I mean. Yeah, you know. Anyway, she stopped. And I said, I got something for you. And she said, you do? And I said, yeah. And I said, it's a Walmart card for $25. And she started to cry. And she gave me the biggest hug. That's what it means to love God. And I praise Him. It's not me. It was all Him. This is what you need in life. This is what you should look at. Look at people. Don't get caught up in the garbage of this world. We're beyond that. Jesus delivered us from this. The sights are on Him. I wrestle with myself to even, why do I turn the TV on? Because I know I'm going to holler and argue at it. There's no need of it. You know, save yourself some trouble. I say to Pam every day, you know what? Nothing's changed from yesterday. There's a crisis here, crisis there, war there, war here. You know, nothing changes. I don't like to be around negative people, do you? Negative people can make you negative if you work with them for 8-10 hours a day. The love of God is 29 times, I think, there in what we've read, that the word love or a form of love is mentioned. Here's a quote I want to share with you. There are many today who talk about the love of God who are total strangers to the God of love. That's a quote from 1930, 94 years ago. What do you think about it today? Are you surprised what you're seeing and hearing today? What would Mom and Dad say about that? Or Grandma and Grandpa? Let's go back to great-grandpa. He'd say, what's got into you people? The Bible says, 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now here's what I have always said. When people have come to me, you the pastor of the church? Yeah, well, me and my sweetie here would like to get married. That's commendable. Now, I take a different approach. I say, well, you know, the ministry's not like a taxi. You know, hey, I need a ride. You want to get married? We need to talk. Are you a Christian? I had one guy say, oh, yeah, I am. Yes, I'm a Christian. What church do you go to? He said, oh, that big one across town, you know. I said, no, I don't know. Which one? Which big one? Oh, the big white one. He wasn't going to church. Now, why do I press that? I believe this, and I know it's true in my own life. If Jesus Christ is not in your life, you cannot know what love is. You cannot know it. You are infatuated with somebody, but you don't know what love is unless Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. If He is, yes. Why? Because God is love. Think about that. I got married at 19. I thought I knew everything, you know. My dad, we asked my dad over there, you know, he's a little shorter than me. You know, I love him a lot, but he, you know, he's old. You know what I mean? Old people. Now I'm there. I didn't care about anybody but me. I was married and I had 4 kids. I still didn't care about anybody but me. I didn't care. That was it. No wonder it went down the tubes. It wasn't built. And as a minister, many times I've had people come, you know, I had a woman come to me one time, wanted to talk, you know, and I always made sure Pam was with me because, you know, women, women know women. I tell you what, men think they know women, but women know women. You can't stand her husband. Why'd you marry him? Did you ask God? Did you pray to God about this marriage? No. Well, no wonder it went down the tubes. It's nobody's fault but you. First John 4:8 says, he, that's an individual, that loveth not. Why? Well, he's the individual. Second thing is, that loveth not. Why? Because there's no relationship. There's no relationship with God. You could care less. I'm in it for me. What's in it for me? And that's how I looked at people. What use is this person to me? And that's how I was. And what caused me, how God opened my heart, was with Pam. We were in the Southern Baptist Church. We're sitting, two pews back in back of Brenda. And the pastor preached, and Pam started crying. She said, I got to go. And I thought, yeah, you're crying. You know what? Right. I thought she was going to go out the door. No, she's walking up front. What are you doing? And I remember sitting in the car with her. Popped out a lucky strike, and I'm beating it on the thing, and I looked over at her, and I knew she had something I didn't have. I could see it. It's not a word she said. There was just a complete peace, serene about her face. I praise the Lord. If people don't know God, there's no love. There's not going to be any love. Because God is love. Some facts I'd like to share with you about God's love. But before we start, I'm going to touch on what the pastor said this morning. In addressing the love of God, we must believe and accept, and I learned this right here in this church, the sovereignty of God. We live in a world today that wants answers. You ain't going to get answers. You're going to get some answers. We have a great-grandson that's 12. He called Pam the other day, texted her. He said, I got a question, Grandma. Grandma B, he calls her. In the garden, did God put the apple in the garden or did Satan? And so we talked about it. She wrote back to him and said, first off, it's not an apple. Bible doesn't say so. Number two, yes, God did. And he had a friend there. And the question come back, well, why would God put something in a garden and tell you you can't eat it? Well, because, number one, we know God wants to see if you're going to be obedient or not. I said in Sunday school this morning, run that by me again. Who created the garden? Who was it now? It wasn't Adam. Adam's job was to take care of it. It's God that created. God can put anything in the garden he wants. Who are we to ask him? And yet we do it all through life. You see what's taking place in the Middle East? Why doesn't he do something? Read Ezekiel. Read Isaiah. Read Jeremiah. He is doing something. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning a little bit. Wouldn't surprise me if, the Bible says all nations are going to be against Israel. All nations. That includes this one. We just might live under Chinese domain. I don't know. But if you're a Christian, days are going to be numbered. We know that. But that's all right. God's going to take care of us. He's promised us that. But that's a fact of life. I don't lay awake at night and think about that and worry about that. Why? Because of God's love. But we have to believe in the sovereignty of God, no matter what. And that takes you, we won't go there now, but Ephesians talks about it, as the pastor shared with us. I still got it marked in my Bible, a Trinitarian salvation. some facts I want to share with you about God's love. Pastor touched on it this morning. I said, he stole my sermon. I tell you what. Number one, God's love for you is not influenced by who you are. No. No. This is what we wrestle with. Tell me how you met Susie. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it was years ago. It was back in the horse and buggy days, and we was at a barn dance, and man, she was just the sweetest, prettiest little thing I ever saw. I'll tell you what. See, there's always a reason. You can't give God a reason why he chose you. Not because of your looks, your money, your talent, or whatever it is. It's not influence. We don't influence it. The love which one creature has for another is because of something in the object. But the love of God is free, spontaneous, and uncaused. The only reason why God loves any is found in his own sovereign will. He said, because I do. Case closed. Number two, God's love is eternal because God is eternal. And as we just read, God is love. God is from everlasting to everlasting. We can't wrap a head around that. We'll agree and say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I agree with that. But we can't fathom it at all. Because everything we do in life has a beginning and end. You're born and you die. You get a job. You get old, you retire. Everything has a beginning and an end. Like Ecclesiastes says, to everything there's a season. But God's love is eternal. Number three. It's sovereign. Because God is sovereign. He's overall. He is overall. He does as he pleases. And again, we live in a world, especially now, that wants answers to questions that they have no right even asking. But as the pastor preached this morning, I find this. As we grow, You can't help but live in the love of God and love him. God loves who he pleases because God is God. He does as he pleases, and therefore his love is sovereign. Think about Jacob. All of Jacob's faults and waywardness. I remember reading that Spurgeon had a woman one day say, I don't know how God ever hated Esau. And Charles Spurgeon said, well, I don't know how he could ever love Jacob. But he did. That's entirely up to God. God never ceased to love Jacob. Number four, it's infinite. God's love is great. It cannot be estimated. There was written by John Bryan in 1743, no tongue can fully express the infinitude of God's love, or any mind comprehend it. It passes knowledge. The most extensive idea that a finite can frame about divine love as far below its true nature. It is a fountain from which flows all necessary good to all those who are interested in it. Pastor said something that has always stayed with me since the first time. And we're talking about election. And he said, you know, once you see it in the Bible, you cannot not see it. And it's like God's love. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with everything he preached on this morning. You can't help but see it, no matter where you turn. God's love. It knows no change, nor does it diminish. Someone wrote this. His love no end, no measure knows. No change can turn its course. Eternally the same it flows from one eternal source. Number six, God's love. It's holy. God's love is not relegated by an impulsive change of mind or by any indecision. God's love is no mere weakness or effeminate softness. God told the early Israelites, you know, I didn't choose you because you're famous, you know, and you're good people. Or you're big and strong. I basically chose you because I chose you. I wanted to. Can we fathom that? No, we can't. We are of this mind. Somebody treats me nice, I'll treat them nice. You know, they snub me. Well, I can remember. Of course, it's back when I didn't know the Lord, but I'd be in a fight with somebody and I'd purposely go by their house real slow, hoping they're out in the yard so they'd look at me so I could snub them. There. You know what I mean? Number seven, it's gracious. Romans talks about it, that the love and favor of God is inseparable. In John 3:16, we see that Christ didn't die to make God love us, but because he did love his people. Calvary is a supreme demonstration of divine love. It should give us comfort and to know that when the world hates us, God loves us. You're going to see more and more of that. You are going to see more and more of that. We have a red plate on the front of the little cube, and it says, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I was in the habit of driving into my back end now, so everybody that pulls in sees the plate, you know what I mean? And I remember sitting in it one day, and a guy was walking towards me, and he's looking at me, and then he's looking down. He's looking at me, looking down. Looking at me, looking down. And I knew he was looking. He's looking at that plate. And then you're at the point where, what is this guy? Has he got horns or what? You know, trying to figure me out. That's all right. That's good. Little plate like that, you're still glorifying God. That's right. You're putting it out there. This is a statement. Remember this, with the love of God. It's not influenced. There's nothing you can do. You're his. But here's the thing. When we talk about the love of God, it all entails these things too. You would not abuse it. It's kind of like, see, this is the thing I wrestle with today, because I call it easy believism. All you got to do is ask Jesus. See, you do that? Oh, man, praise the Lord. Look at, ladies and gentlemen, just ask Jesus to come in. Well, where is he a month from today? 2 months from? A year? No, we're talking about God coming in. And once he does, you're going to know it. You cannot commit yourself to him. If God has called you, you're going to come along. You're going to want to come along. You mentioned about being dragged this morning. No, you're going to want to go. You're going to want to be. I like being with God's people. Number one, it's not influenced. Number two, it's eternal. Number three, it's sovereign. Number four, it's infinite. Number five, it knows no change. Number six, it's holy. And number seven, it's gracious.